The Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel. The theme of the prophecy of Zephaniah is the Day of the Lord. Zephaniah presents perhaps the strongest declaration of all the Hebrew prophets on the terrors of God's judgment upon sin, a message relevant for our times. Yet Zephaniah concludes with an exquisite song of God's joy over a restored people. In his first of two messages on the prophecy of Zephaniah, Mr. Overton speaks today on the prophet's initial emphasis, the Day of the Lord's Judgment. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The prophet Zephaniah lived and ministered during the reign of Josiah, the last of the righteous kings of Judah. He was himself possibly the great-great-grandson of the good king Hezekiah. His name carries the meaning, the Lord hides or protects. The theme of Zephaniah's prophecy is the Day of the Lord. Zephaniah presents perhaps the strongest declaration of all the Hebrew prophets on the terrors of God's judgment upon sin, a message relevant for our times. Zephaniah, however, concludes with an exquisite song of God's joy over his restored people. The prophet deals with great severity concerning the life in the royal and priestly courts. This came from his intimate knowledge as a prince. He undoubtedly exercised considerable influence upon the young king Josiah during the Reformation in his reign. While Josiah's Reformation was as thorough as one king could make it, the people, except for a remnant, only conformed outwardly to the king's leadership. There was no root of true godliness in the nation generally. Thus, in the tradition of the earlier prophet Amos, Zephaniah speaks of coming judgment. The Day of the Lord was upon them. Zephaniah even predicted judgments against his own home city, Jerusalem. The first destruction came only 50 years later. His prophecies, however, look far beyond this to succeeding centuries, right on up to the last days. The judgment will be universal. The prophecy opens with these words, "The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth, declares the Lord." What a statement this is. We hear often today news reports of various catastrophes, yet all kinds of cataclysms pale before the future judgments that the prophets describe. These will fall in many ways upon the unrepentant sinner. Zephaniah's prophecy continues, "I will remove man and beast, the birds of the sky, fish of the sea, and the ruins along with the wicked, and I will cut off man from the face of the earth, declares the Lord." This graphic and detailed enumeration is designed to picture both the terror and the universality of the judgment. All nature suffers with mankind in this visitation. It is the day of the Lord's wrath. No human being is able to fully comprehend the awfulness of this prophecy. Only the universal destruction of the flood due to man's sin in the days of Noah foreshadows this. The prophet Zephaniah, having pronounced this universal judgment, suddenly contracts it to center upon Jerusalem and Judah. They had been favored with the revelation of God's will, far from being excluded because of their chosen position. Judgment would begin at the house of the Lord. So Zephaniah continues, "I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the names of the idolatrous priests along with the priests and those who bow down on the housetop to the host of heaven and those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom, and those who have turned back from following the Lord, and those who have not sought the Lord or inquired of Him. When the Lord thus predicts such judgments upon His covenant people, a special work of chastisement is indicated. The Lord states, I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. Baal in Hebrew means Lord, husband, or owner. Baal was the supreme god of the ancient Canaanites. They believed he controlled the nature and all of its elements. This highly developed religion and fertility cult held a strong attraction for the nations and for Israel. It easily infiltrated other forms of worship. Its manifestations were as numerous as communities and cultures demanded. The title Baal could be joined to any god of any religion. Baal carefully sought to fuse the God-revealed religion of Israel with those of the surrounding nations. During the days of King Ahab and his pagan queen Jezebel, Baal actually became the state religion of northern Israel. Baal was served by 450 priests and many prophets. This infection entered into Jerusalem when Jehoram, king of Judah, married a daughter of Queen Jezebel. Later, under the notoriously wicked reign of King Manasseh, Baal worship flourished again in Judah. It was at this time that the prophet Zephaniah ministered and influenced the young king Josiah, grandson of Manasseh, to institute reform. As already noted, this reform was temporary and surface in its nature. In such an admixture of worship, the people of Judah and Jerusalem actually turned back from following the Lord, even though they used His name. The majority of the priests were only outwardly the priests of the true God of Israel. They cared very little about the spiritual laxity of the people of Judah and Jerusalem. The Lord also designated those who worshipped the host of heaven as candidates for His judgment. Numerous homes throughout the land of Judah had become idol sanctuaries. The flat housetops offered a clear view of the sky and an ideal place to erect altars for the burning of incense. This black art of antiquity knows in our day an unprecedented revival. This is evidenced by the many horoscope columns that appear regularly in publications daily and monthly. Thousands of astrologers advise millions. Many forms of occult involvements flourish among the educated, leaders, and professionals throughout the world today. Before further elaboration concerning God's judgment, the prophet Zephaniah calls for silence before the Lord. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated His guests. Then it will come about on the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish. This illustration of the guilty being offered as a sacrifice to satisfy divine judgment appears frequently in the writings of the Hebrew prophets. The expression, I will punish, occurs three times in chapter 1, verses 7 through 13. This passage has been called Zephaniah's Grand Tour of Jerusalem. The prophet presents the Lord's charges against the inhabitants as he conducts his listeners from place to place. Having visited the housetops with their shrines, he comes to the palace. I will punish the princes, the king's son. The temple is next. I will punish all who fill the house with violence and deceit. He then visits the commercial areas, predicting the coming judgment. Finally, with lamps, the street of the city is searched. The prophet pronounces punishment upon the indifferent, who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. This sin of indifference is one of the greatest enemies to righteousness. These calamities, fulfilled only in part, prefigure the final day of the Lord, called great because of its tremendous results. Zephaniah continues, listen, the day of the Lord, a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and battle cry. I will bring distress on men. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them, for he will make a complete end, indeed a terrifying one of all the inhabitants of the earth." Following such a fearful description of God's certain judgment, is there any more to be said? Yes, there is. After deriding Judah as a nation without shame, Zephaniah points to a way of escape. "Before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." Here is the clear indication that the day of the Lord need not be darkness for everyone. But there is to be no delay, no taking for granted, no growing careless. The exhortation is to faithfulness. How beautiful Zephaniah's words appear in this judgment setting when he says, "Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." The psalmist cried out, "Hide me in the shadow of thy wings." The prophet Isaiah spoke of a king who would rule righteously, and of princes who would be as a refuge and shelter. These find their completion in the Messiah, the Christ of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, who invites Jew and Gentile to find refuge in him, and to have their lives hidden with Christ in God. Will you come to this divine shelter while there is yet time?